Please be seated. Merry Christmas. My name is Father Chris, and I am the rector or senior pastor here at Good Samaritan Anglican Church. And on behalf of the whole church, if you are new here, if this is your first time, I just want to extend a hearty welcome, as well as a welcome to all family who have been here from out of town. We are so glad you're here. If you would just take a moment, if this is your first time here, to fill out one of our welcome cards, which you can find in the pocket in the pew in front of you. You can put that in the offering plate when it passes by, and it will help us to greet you more personally. We're so glad you're here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I have received many wonderful Christmas presents over the years, but I don't think any of them have surprised me quite as much as one day when I received a Christmas card in the mail, and I opened it up, and inside was a check for $1,000. This doesn't happen to me every day. In fact, it never happens to me. So I was shocked when I saw this $1,000 check in this Christmas card. And I was so shocked, actually, that I called the person that gave me the Christmas card just to check and make sure that they hadn't added an extra zero that they hadn't intended to put on there. I was surprised. I was amazed. And they assured me that it was, in fact, what they intended, that they had just come into a surprising extra amount of money that year, and they wanted to share it with the people that they loved. It was a wonderful gift. It was a gift that I could really use at that time. And I can think of many other occasions when I've been significantly blessed through the generosity of others. Perhaps you can, too. Gifts that have come at just the right time in your life. Some of the gifts that have meant the most to me are gifts that did just that. They came at just the right time in my life, at a time when I really needed them, especially when I couldn't figure out any way to meet that need on my own. We think a lot about gift giving at Christmas time. We give gifts that we might give to others, and so we labor about what do we want to give to the people that we love, to show our appreciation for them, to show that we love them. Maybe we even think about the gifts that we might receive ourselves, thinking in anticipation of what those boxes under the tree might hold. But why do we give gifts at Christmas time at all? What's the purpose? Is it a social obligation? Well, in some cases it is. But that's not the real reason why we give gifts at Christmas. We do so as a way to remember the greatest gift that was ever given. A gift that was wrapped not in wrapping paper, but in swaddling clothes. A gift that was given to the whole world, though only a few recognized it at the time. And of course, I'm talking about the gift of Jesus, the baby Jesus. That God left the glory of heaven and condescended upon us to take on human flesh and to dwell among us. This is truly an amazing thing. But you may ask, how is a baby that was born more than 2,000 years ago a gift to all of humanity, even today? How is that possible? Well, our reading from Titus this evening gives us a clue. But first of all, do you remember that I said that some of the gifts that have meant the most to me came at times when I needed them the most? And the gift of Christmas, the gift of Jesus, means the most because of a verse that we didn't include, and that's verse 3. So I'll read that to you now. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. That's a pretty bleak situation, isn't it? And that's the situation that all of us find ourselves in without Jesus. Foolish, disobedient, quarreling, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. This is the place of need where this gift meets each one of us. But then the next verse declares that Jesus saved us, that he pulled us out of the muck of our lives, washed us clean by his Holy Spirit, and reconciled us to our Heavenly Father from whom we had been estranged. He continues in verse 4 saying, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us." He saved us. And then a little later it says, "But according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." That's what Jesus does for us. He takes us from a place of sin and makes us clean. He takes us from a place of filthiness and washes us, gives us clean clothes, cleans us up. He purifies us, and he restores our relationship with God. And then Paul reminds us that this is not because of anything that we've done on our own. It's entirely what God has done for us. Paul says, "When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy." Not because of works done by us, but according to his own mercy. And this is what we mean by the word grace. It's a word we've all heard before. But what grace means is a gift. It's a gift that's unearned. It's a gift that's undeserved. It's a frivolous gift in some ways. That God would pour out his mercy upon us. That God would leave his glory, the glory of heaven, a place where he lacked for nothing, to come and take on human flesh, to come to a place of need. This is grace. And everyone is in need of this grace, of this salvation, from the Adolf Hitlers of the world to the Mother Teresas of this world. Because none of us is good enough on our own to be reconciled to God. All of us have sin in our lives, whether we think they're small sins or whether we know that they're big sins. All of us need a Savior. And that's what Jesus came to do for us. He came to save us. But that gift was not without a cost. And the baby who was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger is God himself, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. And he left his heavenly throne to take on human flesh for this reason, so that he could sacrifice himself for each one of us, for you and for me. It's not something he had to do. It's something he desired to do because of the great love with which he loves you. But there's one more piece about this gift that you need to know about. In verse 7, Paul says that through this gift, we have gained not just purity, but also an inheritance. He says, "So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What is an heir? An heir is someone who inherits something. So if you are in the royal family and you are the firstborn in the royal family, you get to inherit the kingdom. Or if you are born to wealthy parents and they die, you inherit their fortune. Or if your parents have a fancy house and you die, or they die, you get their fancy house. That's what it means to inherit something. What do we mean by this inheritance that comes from God? Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus washed us and made us clean from our disobedience, he reconciled us to our Father, the Father from whom we had been estranged. And when Jesus washed us clean and reconciled us to him, our relationship with him was restored, and we gained the inheritance that we didn't have before. Because through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, each one of us can be adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Think about that for just a moment. It's pretty remarkable. That each one of us can be adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And our inheritance is eternal life with our Heavenly Father in a mansion that he's prepared for us. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, In my Father's house there are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. That's our inheritance. That's where we're going, to be with Jesus, who came to be with us. But the thing about gifts is that they're meaningless until they're received. Under our Christmas tree at home right now, there are lots and lots of pretty boxes wrapped in pretty paper. But all of them mean absolutely nothing until you open up the boxes and see what's inside. Until that point, they're just boxes, just paper. But when you open up the box, when you see what's inside, when you receive the gift, that's when it takes on some kind of a meaning. And so we need to ask tonight, have you received the gift of Christ into your heart? God has lavished his riches upon you, but have you accepted it? Have you received it? Have you accepted the free gift of his grace? Because he's waiting for you. And there's no time like the present to receive him into your life. This is what Christmas is all about. We enjoy the songs and the pretty lights and the presents. But it all, in the end, comes down to God, who left his heavenly throne, his heavenly dwelling, to take on our flesh and to live the life that none of us can live, so that he could die the death that all of us deserve and reconcile us to our heavenly Father. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you that you are indeed the greatest gift that was ever given. We thank you that you were willing to leave your heavenly throne to come and live among us, to take on human flesh, and to save us. And so we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to you this Christmas. For those of us who are far from you, Lord, we pray that you would draw us back to you. And for those of us who have never received that gift, Lord, we pray that you would draw all of us to yourself. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand together and sing, "Once in Royal David City."